Text for the sermon this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, false ministers and apostles came to Corinth and began troubling the church there. They tried to destroy Paul's character and credibility so that people would turn away from him and from the Christ he preached and from the pure word of the living God which he taught in their midst. Then these false ministers and apostles could spread their lies in Corinth and destroy the church of God there. At the same time, they could enrich themselves and become famous, making a name for themselves. This is how false ministers and apostles operate. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ always needs to watch and be on guard and be able to distinguish between a true minister of the Lord Jesus and a hireling or a false minister who pretends to serve Christ. Because savage wolves always come into the church of Christ and seek to destroy the sheep, not sparing the flock. As Paul says in Acts 20, verse 30, to the elders of the church in Ephesus, men will rise up even from within the church, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. The Lord tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there are false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. False ministers are proud. They are arrogant. They are self-willed. They are self-centered. They are self-promoting and self-commending. They seek to aggrandize themselves. But a true minister of the Lord Jesus Christ is humble. Humility is lowliness of mind. Humility is a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Humility is self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to God's holy will. Humility is knowing that you are completely unworthy of God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's grace, and that what you are and what you have received from the Lord only by His grace and His mercy towards you. Every true minister of Jesus Christ is humble. That is one of the marks of a true minister of Christ. The first thing that we see this morning in our text here in 2 Corinthians 10 is the humility of a true minister of Christ manifests itself in an unwillingness to take credit for the labors of others. False ministers are not going to be able to accomplish anything that is true and lasting. But they need to accumulate some credentials. So they take credit for things they have not done. They recite their own achievements, which in fact they have not accomplished. They do not hesitate to take credit for things they have never done. They claim to be the source of the spiritual progress in the church, which has nothing to do with them, since they are not the instruments of God and not even true believers, often. The Apostle Paul writes here in our text in verse 14, "For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ." Paul did not come to Corinth to claim something that belonged to others. Paul did not claim things that did not happen. When I say I preached the gospel in Corinth, I'm not telling a lie. When I say God called me to preach Christ in Corinth, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not overstating the truth. He did call me to Corinth and used me there to save the lost and to build up the church. Paul continues in verse 15, "not boasting of things beyond measure," that is, in other men's labors. Paul says, I'm not taking credit for something I did not do or should not have done. This is a very serious matter. What Paul says in verse 13 of this passage is true. We came to you in the measure of the canon or the rule which God appointed us, a measure which especially includes you. That is not an exaggeration. That is not overstating the truth. That is an accurate statement of the reality of God's call. We came and we did what God called us to do. You know it. Because you are the fruit of God's grace, ministered through our labor in preaching Christ and Him crucified for sinners. We had every right to come to Corinth. We had every right to minister there. That was our duty. That was our task that the Lord gave us. God ordained that we would be the instrument of the Spirit of God to save His people and to build His church in Corinth. The false ministers and apostles accused Paul of doing things God had not given him to do. Going where God had not sent him. Doing what God had not authorized him to do. They said, Corinth is our place, not Paul's. You need to get rid of this usurper, Paul, and listen to us. False ministers stretch out their arms, as it were, or stand on their tiptoe to reach something that does not belong to them. False ministers have a greedy desire for glory that is even more shameful, for ambitious people not only stretch out their hands and stand on tiptoe, but are rushed off their feet by any pretext for obtaining glory. Paul was not like that at all. No, Paul was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel in Macedonia. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. In obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit sent by Christ to dwell in His people, Paul preached the gospel throughout Macedonia and Achaia in southern Greece, including in Corinth. Paul came to Corinth to preach Christ and Him crucified in order that Christ might gather and establish His church there. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That is the reason that Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, "For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ." Paul did not come to them with empty hands. No, he came to them preaching Christ and Him crucified. He came bringing the gospel of Christ to them for their salvation. He brought with Him the most precious of all gifts, as he says in the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, God's unspeakable or indescribable gift, Christ Jesus crucified for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. False ministers stretch out their hands to reap another man's harvest, and yet dare to revile those who sweat and labor produce the fruit in the church that they boast in. The Apostle Paul had built up the church of God in Corinth with a great struggle and against great opposition and innumerable difficulties. He not only preached the gospel in Corinth, but he also labored as a tent maker with Aquila and Priscilla to earn a living. The false ministers and apostles appeared in Corinth later and found the road had already been made. The door was already open. In order to appear to be important people, they shamelessly claimed the fruit they had no right to claim, and they ridiculed Paul's labors. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And he says there in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it." Paul faithfully ministered the Word of God more than a year and a half in Corinth. You can read Luke's inspired account of Paul's ministry in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. He was God's tool to evangelize both Jews and Gentiles in Corinth. The false ministers were parasites. They were terrorists. They were invaders. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 18, verses 8 through 10, "And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city.'" The false ministers were enemies of Christ who had invaded Corinth. With their self-seeking, self-commending ways, they had deceived the congregation into thinking that they were the true apostles. They were interfering with the work of God in His church. This was very serious interference. Paul was deeply concerned about it. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." They preach lies. Heresy. They said God called them. They said God authorized them. They said that Corinth was their territory, but it was all lies. False ministers, false preachers do not build churches. They destroy them. They do not develop ministry. They go in and wreck it. They may do it in a local congregation. They may do it in a whole denomination of congregations. They may do it in a school or some other place. The Church of Scotland began in August 1560. In the Reformation of the Church in Scotland under John Knox. More than 100 years later. Or more than 100 years ago, false ministers and false teachers did not start their own church in Scotland. But they infiltrated the Church of Scotland and destroyed it. A year ago, on January 13, 2023, the Reverend Eric Alexander entered into the glorious presence of his Savior. The Savior he loved. And the Savior he loved to preach. He was one of the most gifted preachers of his generation. But more than his preaching, his life testified to the transforming grace of God. From 1959 to 1997, he ministered successively in three congregations of the Church of Scotland. Along with his older brother Tom, Eric had been raised under the ministry of William Fitch in Springburn Hill, Glasgow, in Scotland. And from there, they were both called into the gospel ministry. Tom's early death at age 29 had a profound impact on his brother Eric. He was a faithful minister of Jesus Christ in the Church of Scotland. His preaching exalted Christ, gloried in God, and called us to give ourselves devotedly and unreservedly to the worship of God and to the service of His kingdom. His preaching exemplified both a deep heart of piety and a profound understanding of the Reformed faith. He understood that preaching should not only be Christ-centered, it should be rich in the great truths recovered for the church at the Reformation. My wife and I were blessed to hear him open God's Word and expound the sovereignty of God at the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology in 1988. He was asked at a General Assembly, "How can you stay in the Church of Scotland?" He replied to the Assembly, "That is not the question. The question is, how can you, who have apostatized, stay in the Church of Scotland? If you leave, the impostors take it all. Seminaries all across Europe and the United States started out with faithfully teaching the Word of God and with a passion for preaching Christ and Him crucified throughout the world. They have been taken over by the infiltration of the theological terrorists who do not build anything but just wreck what God is building. That is why the Orthodox Presbyterian Church was founded in 1936. False ministers wrecked the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America, which began with immigrants from Scotland and Ireland in 1640. And the first presbytery was established at Philadelphia in 1706. True ministers of Christ do not try to destroy the church and the ministry of faithful preachers. They would go where God sends them and build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit of God. That is what true ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ do. They do not just try to destroy and undo what God has done. Invaders who come in as spiritual terrorists with no calling, no gifts, no truth, and no ministry are destroyers. They want credit for gifts they do not possess. They want credit for callings they do not have and work they have not done. True ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ are very different. Paul says, I came in the will of God, by the power of God, with the gifts that God gave me. I came to Corinth because the Spirit of Christ sent me. He says in verse 15, I am not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors. I'm not boasting of what God did not give me or what God has not done through me, like these false ministers who claim things that are not true. I do not boast in other men's labors. That is exactly what the false ministers had done. They claimed things that they had never done. They had no credentials of their own and no work they had accomplished. They had no positive spiritual impact on anything. But they claimed that they were the instruments through which the Lord worked in Corinth. They were eager to take credit for what they had not done, because they could not take credit for having done anything as false ministers, because they could not accomplish anything good in the power of the Spirit of God. Crediting themselves with other men's labors is a sign of great pride. A truly humble person is even reluctant to take credit for what the Lord has accomplished through him, let alone to take credit for what he has not done. They wanted to boast of what they had not done. A true minister of Christ would never do that. Paul writes in verses 15 and 16, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you according to our canon or rule, abundantly, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's canon of things accomplished. Paul had the sure hope that the faith of the believers in Corinth would increase. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, the believers in Corinth were not growing in faith. But Paul has the sure hope in Christ that these believers in Corinth would grow in faith, be mature in Christ, and overcome the present problems in the church. The wicked one who was attacking them with unsound doctrine. Paul has the sure hope that they would become sound in doctrine and live in holiness, in peace, and in unity. And the church would be the pillar and the ground of the truth as it ought to be, filled with obedience to Jesus Christ. Paul says, I have hope that will happen. We shall be greatly enlarged by you according to our canon or rule, abundantly, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's canon of things accomplished. What does that mean? once you are strong, then I'm going to go even beyond you. I'm going to enlarge the field within the canon that God has given me. As you become stronger, I will be enabled with your prayers and with your support to move beyond you. Verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's canon of things accomplished. Christ had given Paul more work to do. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 15 that he's eager to go to Rome to preach the gospel there. Paul says in Romans 15 verse 28 that he shall go by way of you in Rome to Spain. He wanted to share the gospel of Christ throughout Europe, wherever God wanted him to go. He says to the Corinthians, as soon as you become strong, I will be able to go to another place and preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified for sinners. God not only called me to you, but when you are strong, I will be enabled to labor in the next place. Spiritual chaos hindered ministering in other places. When Corinth was strong in the Lord, then Paul could go to Rome and even to Spain. Paul is saying, I want to go further. I want to preach the gospel to the regions beyond you. In Acts chapter 19, verse 21, Luke tells us when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Rome was in his heart. That great city, that capital of the ancient world, the Roman Empire. He wanted to go there to preach the gospel, and from there to go to Spain. But no matter where he went, he says here in verse 15, it will always be within our canon or sphere or the place that God has sent us to preach. And verse 16, we will never boast in another man's canon of things accomplished, or in another man's sphere of accomplishment. I'm not going to do what these false ministers have done. I'm not going to come in and tell lies about what I have accomplished. I'm not going to come in and take credit for things I have not done. If they are men of God, let them go to their own place. If they are men of God, let them go build a church by the power of the Holy Spirit in the place where Christ calls them to serve. To serve Him, not themselves. If they are men of God, let their own virtuous life and spiritual power demonstrate itself in preaching the gospel to the conversion of sinners and the establishment of a church. Let them go and train godly leaders. Let them go and plant more churches if they are ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The mark of a true minister of Christ is that he works within the canon that God has given him, not in someone else's field. He never takes credit for what God has not done through him. Paul writes in Romans 15, verses 17 through 21, therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. A true, humble minister of the Lord Jesus Christ is unwilling to take credit for another person's labors. Second, a true, humble minister of the Lord Jesus Christ seeks only the Lord's glory. This is essential. Look at verse 17 in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The thought of glory in self is repulsive to Paul. It is heinous. How different from false ministers who, for the sake of their own glory, will tear up the church, tear up the tender lambs of Christ's flock, attack the sheep, scatter them, rather than bind up their wounds and tear up the glory of the exalted Christ. False ministers seek their own glory, self-promotion, self-exaltation, their own fame, or rather notoriety. The true minister of the Lord Jesus Christ refuses to boast in himself. He refuses to boast in man. He will only boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul quotes the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. If we are going to glory, we glory in the Lord. That takes us back to what I said at the beginning. The true minister of Christ is humble. Humility is lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to God's holy will. Humility is knowing that you are completely unworthy of God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's grace, and that what you are and what you have received from the Lord, only by His grace and His mercy to you. Humility is the conviction that you are utterly and completely unworthy of the goodness, the mercy, and the grace of God, and that you are incapable of anything of value apart from that, apart from the Lord. Humility recognizes man's unworthiness and the worthiness of God alone. That is why we worship God alone. That is why we exalt the Lord when someone dies, not the person who died. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Paul quotes this same passage in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren. Look at yourselves as a congregation. That not many wise according to the flesh. You're not a bunch of scholars and intellectuals. Not many mighty. You're not a bunch of powerful, influential people. Not many noble. You're not the wealthy and the elite of the society. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We cannot boast in man. We cannot glory in man. We have nothing to boast about. We are not the nobility. We are not the intelligentsia. We are not the mighty and the powerful. We are the weak and the base and the frail and the humble and the nobodies. That is the way God wants it. Because then all the glory belongs to Him. Humble people give all the glory to God. Where you see true humility, you see an unwillingness to take credit for anything and a willingness to give all the glory to God. The reformers of the 1500s were true humble ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why they taught soli Deo Gloria. Glory only to God. Psalm 115 verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. False ministers are always proud, self-centered, self-promoting, trying to impress people. That is sinful and is not true spirituality. False ministers want glory now. They want fame. They want money. They want power. They want prestige. They want it now. Not true ministers of Christ. They're not showmen. They do not seek to protect their own image. They do not intimidate those who seek truth into being silent. They do not call for tolerance and acceptance. True, humble ministers of Christ refuse to talk about themselves. They're not interested in seeing their names in lights. They imitate the meekness and the gentleness of Jesus. They believe in the pure power of the Word of God, the Scriptures. God's power unto salvation to everyone who believes. They are consistent in how they live and in what they teach, and they live for the glory of God. They seek the kingdom of God. They seek the good and the increase of the church of the Lord Jesus. They're willing to have nothing and to be nothing if the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted and glorified. What are you seeking in your life? Are you about yourself? Or about your family? Or about your own interests? Or about your own advancement? Or about your own pleasure? Or about your own good? Or about your own glory? Do you serve yourself? Do you please yourself? Do you do your own will? Do you glory in man? It's not man's approval that you need. It's not earthly glory that you need. It's the approval of God that you need. It's peace with God that you need. He made you to glorify Him. You need the righteousness of Christ as your own. You need the forgiveness of all your sins. Without that, you have nothing that will last. But everlasting condemnation and destruction. Come to Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. He has eternal life. And He gives eternal life to all who humble themselves before Him. To all who cast themselves upon His mercy and lay hold of Him in faith and turn from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is what you need. He is what you are searching for. He is perfectly suited to provide all that you need. Only He can make you right with God. Only He can save you from your sins. Only He can give you life without end. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You that You glorify Your Son. Glorify Your Son in the salvation of Your people, in the gathering of Your sheep, in the building of Your church. We thank you for the humble, faithful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that Paul came in the meekness and in the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ, not seeking his own name and his own glory, but ministering the gospel, preaching Christ and him crucified for sinners. And we thank you, Father, for the mighty way in which you built your church through his ministry. And in the way in which you continued to build your church even after he was gone, through other faithful ministers of Christ, so that the whole world was turned upside down. And the vicious animosity of the Jews and the vicious hatred of the pagan Roman Empire was subdued and defeated by the power of Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And Father, also today, you raise up faithful servants who love your appearing, who seek your glory, not their own, and who delight to spread the good news of Jesus Christ wherever you bring them. Father, we thank you for such faithful servants, men, women, even children. And we thank you, Father, for those ministers whom you send to bring the gospel to the lost and to feed your sheep in your church. Lord, grant us more faithful men, more faithful women, more faithful children. And grant, Heavenly Father, that we may be able to distinguish between those who are faithful and those who only seek their own glory. Give to us, Father, those who will feed our souls with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and build up and gather and increase your church to the glory and to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen.